Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead's holy names, His transcendental forms, His carriers, and all the weapons decorating Him as personal associates protect our intelligence, senses, mind, and life areas from all dangers. Purport. There are various associates of the transcendental personality of Godhead, and His weapons and carriers are among them. In the spiritual world, nothing is material. The sword, bow, club, disc, and everything decorating personal body of the Lord are spiritual living force. Therefore, the Lord is called Advaya Jnana, indicating that there is no difference between Him and His names, forms, qualities, weapons, and so on. Anything pertaining to Him is in the same category as spiritual existence. They're all engaged in the service of the Lord in varieties of spiritual forms. What time does the class usually go to? 8:30. Oh, just read a little bit more here. The subtle and gross cosmic manifestation is material, but nevertheless it is non-different from the personality of Godhead, because He is ultimately the cause of all causes. Cause and effect are factually one, because the cause is present in the effect. Therefore, the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can destroy all our dangers by any of His potent parts. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entities, the material energy, the spiritual energy, and the entire creation are all individual substances. In the ultimate analysis, however, together they constitute the Supreme One, the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge see unity and diversity. For such advanced persons, the Lord's bodily decorations, His name, His fame, His attributes and forms, and the weapons in His hand are manifestation of the strength of His potency. According to their elevated spiritual understanding, the omniscient Lord who manifests various forms is present everywhere. May He always protect us everywhere from all calamities. Purport. A person highly elevated in spiritual knowledge knows that nothing exists but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9:4, where the Lord says, where Lord Krishna says, Maya tatamidam sarvam, indicating that everything we see is an expansion of His energy. This is confirmed in the Vishnu Purana 1:22-52. Eka desha sitasya gir jotashna vistrani yata purasya brahmana shaktis tatedam akilam jagat. As fire, although existing in one place, can expand its light and heat everywhere, so the omnipotent Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although situated in His spiritual abode, expands Himself everywhere, in both the material and spiritual worlds by His various energies. Since both cause and effect are the Supreme Lord, there is no difference between cause and effect. Consequently, the ornaments and weapons of the Lord, being expansions of His spiritual energy, are not different from Him. There is no difference between the Lord and His variously presented energies. It is also confirmed in the Padma Purana, Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shudo Niti Mukto Vinatvam Namanamino. The holy name of the Lord is fully identical with the Lord, not partially. The word Purna means complete. The Lord is omnipotent and omniscient, and similarly His name, form, quality, paraphernalia, and everything pertaining to Him are complete, pure, eternal, and free from material contamination. The prayer to the ornaments and carriers of the Lord is not false, for they are as good as the Lord. Since the Lord is all-pervasive, He exists in everything, and everything exists in Him. Therefore, even worship of the Lord's weapons or ornaments has the same potency as worship of the Lord. Mayavadis refuse to accept the form of the Lord, or they say that the form of the Lord is maya or false. One should note very carefully that this is not acceptable. Although Lord Krishna's original form and his impersonal expansion are one, the Lord maintains his forms, qualities, and abodes eternally. Therefore, this prayer says, Patu Saravai Surupara Na Sada Sarvatra Sarvaga. May the Lord is all pervasive in his various forms, protect us everywhere. The Lord is always present everywhere by his name, form, qualities, attributes, and paraphernalia. And they all have equal power to protect the devotees. Srila Madhvacharya explains this as follows. Eka eva paro vishnura pushaya heti durajesh vajja tat-tat-tat-tat-shakti pradatvena svayam eva vyavyastitaha sadyenanena mam deva patu sarveshvaro hari. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthavudaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Siddharane. So it seems that Vishwarupa is giving the demigods the Narayan Kavacha shield. And by reading these verses, one can see that there's a lot of problems in the material world. You'd have to spend all day just chanting prayers to protect yourself. Snakes, scorpions, a whole variety of ghosts, pretas, bhutas, matas, everything. They're all out to get us. Therefore, if someone feels a little insecure, that's a sign of sanity. And if one feels very confident in the material world, it's a sign that they're not very conscious of exactly what's going on here. In any case, in the process of advancement in spiritual life, as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, verse 66, Prabhupada quotes the verse, that first of all, one has to accept everything favorable. Anasaktasya Visha. What's that verse? Anukalasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjana Rakshasi Titi Vishvaso Goptrive Varnam Tata. First of all, we have to accept things that are favorable for our spiritual advancement, such as chanting Hare Krishna. There are five especially favorable activities, the chanting of the holy names being the topmost, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worshipping the deities, serving the devotees, and living in a holy place. But one also has to become free from the anarthas, which impede our purely executing these activities in a mood of pure devotion. Therefore, one has to give up things which are impediments, anartha nivritti. And then it says, Rakshasi titi vishvaso, to believe that Krishna will protect one. Now, exactly how Krishna will protect one may wonder about, because in the lives of the devotees, it appears that Krishna doesn't always protect his devotee. For example, Jatayu fought against Ravana. You'd expect that Krishna would have protected Jatayu, but Jatayu lost the battle. Now we may claim perhaps he didn't chant his rounds very nicely that day. And therefore he only got partially the protection of the Lord. But that's not mentioned in the Ramayana. Nor did it mention how many rounds he chanted. In any case, the protection that's mentioned there, Rakshisya Titi, is not necessarily the protection of the physical body. After all, Krishna says, Mrityu Sara Harashchaham. Krishna, in the form of time, is killing everyone. They're always looking for the terrorists, but the number one terrorist they can't find. But also Krishna says, Janma Mrityu Duravyadi Dukkha Dosha Nudarshana. Birth, death, old age, and disease, that these are doshas, these problems of birth, these are impetuses. One should understand that these are actually impetuses to make spiritual advancement. The Prabhupada writes that without birth, death, old age, and disease, then there's no impetus to make advancement in spiritual life. If we thought we're going to be here for the next three lives of Brahma, if everyone in England thought we're going to live for three lives of Brahma, then no one would take it, spiritual life very seriously. They think, all right, the last life of Brahma, I'll take it seriously. Let's enjoy what we can. But if one is thinking that in 5 minutes, the Russians have just sent over an atomic bomb to America, but they missed the target and it's going to land in London. Then our japa would probably improve greatly in the next 5 minutes. I know one devotee. He went to the doctor at this, and he was from Chicago. And the doctor told him, you have a very serious heart condition, and that within 1 year you're going to leave your body. This devotee went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I'm going to leave my body in a year, which I want to take Babaji initiation. So Prabhupada gave him Babaji initiation. First he chanted 198 rounds or something a day. And then he slowed down to 64. And 1 year later, came by, he was still chanting 64, but he wasn't dead. So he went back to the doctor and said, what happened? I'm not dead. The doctor checked him again and found out, your heart is actually perfectly normal. It's very healthy. So the devotee said, you mean I'm not going to die? He said, no, you're going to live a long time. So then he gave up Babaji and went back with his own girlfriend, saying, well, I'm not going to die, so why should I take Babaji? The Prabhupada laughed. He said, now he thinks he's not going to die. So that's the illusion of the material world, that everyone is thinking as Yamaraj, in the form of Yaksha, asks, Yudhisthira Maharaj, what is the most amazing thing? And he said, Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gacchanti yamalayam. Sheshastara ischanti, kemascharyam atatpura. That is the most amazing thing, is that everyone is dying. So many people at every moment, what to speak of the people, even the children in the womb are dying, are being slaughtered. The animals are being slaughtered. The ants are having a disaster. Everyone is dying in the material world, and we think, somehow or another, I'm going to live here for a long, long time, or perhaps forever, because I'm a very nice person. But life is very short. As you probably know, there was the Rishi named Hari Rishi, Loma Rishi. He had so much hair in his body, it was covered. You could hardly see him because the hair was covering him. And it is said that every time Lord Brahma would be born and die, that one of his hairs would fall out. And that Loma Rishi would live for as long as he had any hair left on his body. One day he was by the bank of the Ganges meditating, and one of his disciples came up to him and said, "My dear Lama Sharishi, can you permit us, your disciples, to kindly build you a bhajan kutir?" And Lama Sharishi said, "What is the value? What is the use? I'm only going to be alive for a short period of time." And we're thinking that our two breaths of Brahma is a long time. I got plenty of time. Even Brahma, who lives for 311 trillion, 40 billion years, probably writes in the Bhagavad Gita, his life is like a lightning streak in the sky. So many Brahmas are rising and are being born and die at every breath of Mahavishnu. Now, after we said all this encouraging information, what is the solution? And here it mentions we should ultimately take shelter of Krishna. And the most important shelter in this age, as we've heard many times, is the holy name. And the holy name contains the name of Hare and the name of Krishna and Rama. So Hare is the energy of the Lord, and the energies of the Lord are glorified here, that we should also take shelter of them. Prabhupada explained that. He gave one lecture at Radhastami. And after speaking about philosophy for half an hour, finally he said something about Srimati Radharani. The whole Radhastami lecture was about Srimati Radharani. That today is Radhastami, here is Srimati Radharani. She is a girlfriend of Krishna. And if you offer a flower to her, and say, "My dear Srimati Radharani, here is a flower. Can you kindly give it to your beloved Krishna?" Srimati Radharani will think, "Oh yes, very nice. Thank you very much." And then she offers the flower to Krishna, saying to Krishna, "My dear Lord Krishna, your devotee has given me this flower to offer to you. That actually he's a real devotee, or she's a real devotee. I'm actually not a devotee. So please give him all your benedictions." In other words, if we get the mercy of the devotee, then actually Krishna's mercy will follow also. Kalindi, when Krishna and Arjuna were riding in their chariot before the burning of the Kandava forest, then while they were by the bank of the lake drinking some water, one beautiful girl walked by. And Krishna said to Arjuna, "Can you kindly go and find out who she is?" So it turns out that she was Kalindi, the daughter of the sun god, and she was there because she wanted Krishna as her husband. And she said that if you, Arjuna, kindly ask Krishna to accept me, then he can't refuse me. In other words, if the pure devotee, one who's actually connected with Krishna, makes a request, then Krishna feels obliged and he accepts the request. That's the nature. If someone requests on behalf of you, someone who's very dear to someone, then naturally that person becomes obliged. Prabhupada said, if you used to quote many times, that if you love me, then love my dog. There's no way you can please a person who is very wealthy. But if you go up to his dog and pet his dog, he becomes obliged to you. Similarly, if Krishna's devotee is pleased, then Krishna feels obliged to the devotee, or to the person who pleases his devotee. Therefore we chant Hare. That if Srimati Radharani is pleased, or her representatives, then actually Krishna becomes pleased and obliged to the devotee, because Krishna is Madan Mohan, and Srimati Radharani is Madan Mohan Mohini. And that pleasing Krishna or pleasing Krishna's devotee, as explains here, goes all the way to the ornaments of Krishna. Of course, the ornaments of Krishna are not ordinary. They're of the same quality as Krishna. And because they're deeply absorbed in meditation on Krishna, therefore they have the same potency as Krishna. This is revealed in many ways. Well, first of all, in the pastime of Vidura left, could say he got, in the colloquial language, he got kicked out of Hastinapur. But that's not the language that was used. Anyhow, he left Hastinapur. He got thrown out of the palace by his nefarious nephew, Duryodhana. And he went on pilgrimage for 30 years. When he came back to Hastinapur, ostensibly in order to save his brother, Dhritarashtra, who was absorbed in family life up until the last moment of life. But when he came back, as soon as Maharaj Yudhisthira saw him, he quoted the famous verse, who didn't quote it, I mean he said the famous verse, Bhavan vidas bhagavatas tirtam bhutak swayam vibho tirtar tirtani bhutani yantak stena katavritaha. That, my dear Vidura, saints like yourself, they're verily places of pilgrimage. Why are you a place of pilgrimage? Not because of the way Vidura dressed or the way he looked, or that he was initiated by a certain person, or he had good connections in the palace. No, because Vidura was absorbed in thinking about Krishna. And thinking about Krishna meant that Krishna was personally present wherever Vidura was. And when we say Krishna, we mean Krishna and his abode. Krishna is always in Vrindavan. Therefore, wherever Krishna is, Vrindavan is there also. His associates, their paraphernalia, everything is there. And because Krishna is there, Krishna is just like the fire, and everything is like iron. If the fire is there, the iron will turn the fire, or the fire will turn the iron into, well, it'll make the iron hotter and hotter and hotter, until finally the iron will become just like the fire, just as hot as the fire. It'll have heat, and even maybe it'll glow. It'll produce some light. That's how we get these light bulbs. The electricity goes through the filament, and although the filament ordinarily has no illuminating power, by the presence of the energy, it becomes luminous. Similarly, anyone who's in contact with Krishna becomes just like Krishna. That's the whole idea of devotional life, is to come to the same quality, at least, of Krishna, if not to become as powerful, if not more powerful than Krishna. One devotee says, I'm not going to worship Krishna, I'm going to worship Nanda Maharaj, because Krishna, as a little baby, is crawling in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. My mother Jasoda told Krishna, my dear Krishna, can you please bring that plank over to me? So Krishna, he tried to pick up the plank, waved his hands, had a difficult time, couldn't do it. Nanda Maharaj told Krishna, please pick up my shoes. Krishna picked up Nanda Maharaj's wooden slippers with great difficulty and brought them over, placing the shoes on Krishna's head. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is placing the shoes of his devotee on his head. In other words, one can control the all-powerful controller by the process of love. Just this interesting sidelight. One time Prabhupada was in a morning walk, and one devotee who's health conscious, a little too fanatically, was complaining about how the devotees were eating sugar, because here they don't eat sugar, but and ghee, And even butter sometimes. Could you imagine that? Devotees eating butter? How embarrassing. Actually, we know the devotees only eat butter and ghee and sugar. Otherwise, they won't eat anything. In any case, the devotee is complaining on this walk. And Prabhupada was not very much interested in the criticism the devotee was making. And he said that, you know, well, these are, you know, foods, what can we do, etc., etc. Prabhupada was trying to discourage the devotee. But the devotee persisted. He went again trying to align Prabhupada with his idea that butter, ghee, sugar, all these things are very bad, and Prabhupada should forbid the devotees from taking these things. So Prabhupada stopped and said, here's Brahmananda. He said, he eats butter and ghee and sugar. And if I ask him to, you see how strong he is? How big he is? If I want to, if I ask him, he'll kill you. So Brahmananda was quite surprised, and so was this devotee. And after that, and Brahmananda said, I was just ready to pounce on him and kill him. And after that, the devotee got the message and didn't say anything about food anymore. So the idea of, if you please Krishna, the devotee, then everything is auspicious. And if you displease the devotee, things may become very inauspicious for you. In any case, in order to please the devotee in this age, it's relatively simple. It is asking, well, we're asked, so we simply chant the holy names of Krishna. But the chanting of the holy name obviously has its quality. It is not that it can be chanted anyway. It should be chanted sincerely, factually asking Krishna and Srimati Radharani, praying to them to engage in their service. But their service is the nature of unlimited transcendental bliss. It doesn't fit together. If we're in the modes of ignorance and passion, or even goodness, when we ask, we can only ask Krishna and Srimati Radharani for according to what we understand, according to our actual faith. We can't ask for blissful service if we don't even know what it is. We have no experience of it, or little experience. In other words, in our present conditioned state, we'll ask according to the modes of nature we're situated under. Now we may think, I'm very sincere. That's one of our problems. Usually we think we're very sincere. And that my chanting, wow, I can't believe how nicely I'm chanting. But the fact is we can only, according to our present state of consciousness and the modes we're situated under, we can only chant so sincerely. There's a ceiling, but by the hearing process we can get inspired to learn how to chant better. Prabhupada said, especially if we learn how to hear from persons who know how to chant better than we are doing. So we can chant with more attention at least, because that's at least the beginning of offenseless chanting, then actually believe that there is a Krishna and a Srimati Radharani and direct our prayers to them. Then if we do it joyfully, happily, we have to learn how to become happy, because we're not going to give a seminar how to be happy. Of course, you could give a seminar how to be happy, but it's not simply an intellectual endeavor. You know, we teach you how to smile. That's not happy enough. You've got to learn how to, you know, exercise your lips. And so these muscles here, do some yoga exercise so you can smile more, and that way you're happier. No, happiness means to get out of the modes of material nature. The very things that causes misery are the cause of lack of happiness. Actually, in the material world, it's simply a place of misery, and the more we get free from our misery, then the more we become happy. Our activities during the day are in different modes of material nature. And if we train ourselves so that we're in the mode of goodness during the day, then we're happier. And when we chant Hare Krishna, hopefully during the day, but especially when we're doing our sadhana of chanting prescribed number of rounds, we can do it with not only attention and prayerfully, but we can do it more with in the proper mood, without anxiety over the past or the future, lamentation about the past, anxiety in the future. We can do it joyfully, and the result is that spontaneously one will get Krishna's association through the process of remembrance. And when one is fortunate enough to constantly remember Krishna, one gradually, Krishna gives the intelligence to feel his presence, and then one can understand the spiritual quality of the holy name. That it's not a mundane sound vibration, although that should be obvious because anyone who constantly chants would realize that this must be different from any mundane sound vibration, which one will get bored with very rapidly. Nitya, nitya yavana, nitya navana yavana. That the holy name is always fresh, and everything about Krishna is always new and attractive. But especially when one comes to the stage of ruchi and can understand the quality of the holy name, then one becomes attracted spontaneously to the holy name of Krishna. And the holy name of Krishna means everything about Krishna. It just doesn't mean Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, although it certainly means that. It means that the whole world becomes full of joy. One is seeing the material world as also part of Krishna's pastimes. Krishna's pastimes, pastime of chastising the rebellious souls to rectify their rebellious nature, and the glorious Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivering the fallen souls back to the spiritual world. That there is nothing but Krishna's pastimes. At the stage of Sasakti, one not only remembers Krishna's pastimes from without, but only sees Krishna's pastime, from within, but only sees Krishna's pastimes from without. There's nothing but Krishna's pastimes. And that qualifies one to eventually come to the Uttama Adhikari platform, where one thinks that everyone is engaged in Krishna's pastimes except for oneself, due to one's humility. That doesn't mean that the Uttama Adhikari suddenly thinks that everyone is an Uttama Adhikari, and that there are no one sense. He can discriminate. He has perfect discrimination. But due to humility, he thinks that he's the most fallen. And he sees that everyone is a Krishna servant. That doesn't mean that everyone is perfectly engaged in Krishna service. But he sees that ultimately, this external manifestation of the material energy that's covering everyone is not our real selves. And that people are being, although directed by the material energy of Krishna, still they're serving Krishna. Although not in a favorable way, but still by Maya Devi, who's Krishna's servant, they're still serving the servants of the servants of Krishna, and therefore all their activities are perfect. They're all engaged in discharging their activities according to their karma, but their karma fits in perfectly to Krishna's plan. And therefore they're actually acting as Krishna's servants. But we're not Uttama Adhikaris, most of us. At least I can say I'm not. And therefore, we have to come to the platform of learning how to chant the holy name in such a way as at least we get taste. At least we begin to become anartha nivritti. We are not distracted by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled, but is always still, that only such a person can actually attain real peace, not the man who's bewildered by all these different incessant flow of desires. One has to become detached from them. And how to do that? Well, the mind is chanting, and we're listening to the mind. Oh, my mind is chanting. What is it chanting? So we have to chant better than the mind. We have to chant the holy name better than the mind is chanting to us. The mind's chanting to us, and we have to not listen to the mind chanting to us. The mind is saying, oh, the Lord, oh, the energy of the Lord, kindly engage in my loving service. And we have to chant, oh, the Lord, oh, the energy of the Lord, kindly engage me in your loving service. So Maya is saying, please engage in my loving service. And we're chanting to Krishna, please engage me in your loving service. So we have to chant better than the mind. If we chant better than the mind, then Krishna will reveal himself to us, and the mind will also become attracted to Krishna. Krishna is so attractive that even our uncontrolled mind will become controlled by thinking of Krishna. In other words, we have to chant with attention, call out to Krishna, and chant in such a way that we become attracted to the chanting. We hear ourselves chanting sincerely, and therefore Krishna and his pure devotees reveal the knowledge from within the heart, Dadami Buddhyogam Tam, and Tesham Eva Nukam Partam. When they hear our prayerful cry, they become compassionate and reveal themselves within our heart, and then we can experience the potency of the holy name. And if we understand the potency of the holy name and how to experience it, then we can tell others also how to take advantage of the magnificent gift that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. So, stop there. Thank you. Any questions?